Welcome to Campfire. Campfire provides solution-focused conversations to influence positive change for health, well-being and safety in agriculture. This podcast has been developed as part of Building Farm Spirit by the National Centre for Farmer Health.
There's an old adage of a farmer's health is their wealth. It's odd to think about your health as an asset, but if you get crook, who's going to run the farm? G'day, I'm Drew Radford, and that's the simple premise behind farmer health checks, which are often available at events like Field Days. Simon Green farms near Elmhurst, and at a working dog school, there were also farmer health checks available. The results he got led to some changes in his lifestyle that not only benefit him, but also his business. To discuss what was involved, he joins us for this Campfire podcast. Simon, thanks for your time.
Pleasure, Joe.
Simon, whereabouts do you farm and what do you farm?
Yeah, we're farming between the Pyrenees and the Mount Cole State Forest, and we're running predominantly a self-replacing merino flock and trading a few cattle as well when opportunity arises.
How many's in the flock though, Simon? It's a reasonable number, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got another place over in between Lexton and Avoca, and between the two places we're sort of running 13,500 to 14,000 sheep.
That's a few sheep to say the least, and two properties. Do you work largely by yourself? I imagine you've got a bit of help.
We've got a full-time worker on board, and we use contractors obviously for the main events of shearing and crutching and, you know, our bigger fencing jobs. So just a combination of the two of us and contractors.
I imagine that's a lot of time by yourself as well though, Simon.
Yeah, well, I'm sort of fairly accustomed to spending a lot of time on my own. We also ran a livestock transport operation for 19 years. There was a lot of time on my own in that occupation as well.
And in recent times, I understand floods haven't helped you either.
Yeah, floods were challenging. We lost quite a reasonable amount of fencing. Didn't lose any livestock, which was fantastic. And then all the fencing's replaceable. So, yeah, it's done some long-term pasture damage to the lower-lying areas, but it's all redeemable.
It is all redeemable and it's all replaceable. But I'd argue probably the key thing in your operation that's probably not replaceable is you. So with a busy workload, when do you get the chance to have a breath and actually focus on your health or even get a checkup?
Yeah, well, that's true. So I am guilty of neglecting my health as opposed to our on-farm business, and that's where the Farmer Resilience Project, who ran the health check day here not so long ago, was very beneficial.
So how did you even find out about that? Was it just a case of seeing it when you rocked up?
It was very well advertised, but it was a no-brainer to attend to it because there was a dog training event attached to the health checks as well, which was a great lure to go to it.
Yeah, kind of two-for-one deal really, isn't it? So did you have any expectations when you rocked up and said, I want to take up one of these health checks?
No, I think probably deep down I thought, oh, well, this is a go. This is good. We'll see how things are basically running within myself and we'll just go from there.
What did the checkup involve?
One of the fringe benefits of the dog training session was you had to book in and do a health check. So we went in, got blood pressures, sugars, you know, all the gear in a private bay in the wool shed of a farmer's place down the road here. And yeah, it was quite comfortable being in our own environment as opposed to being in a doctor's office, I suppose.
So what did you find out from that?
Well, what I had high blood pressure, my blood pressure was elevated, sugar level was slightly elevated. So I was able to have a discussion with the nurse there and she made some recommendations. I made some personal recommendations to myself. I think I drink too much coffee during the day, so cut out a heap of coffee and that makes a big difference to your blood pressure just straight up. And fitness, being aware of how fit you are or how fit you're not. So morning walks and involving a bit of running and monitoring my diet and, yeah, still continuing down that line now since that day, yeah.
And how are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Lost a bit of weight. I have relapses every now and then when you might drink that extra coffee a day or have a couple too many beers. But I'm more conscious of it now. I give it a lot more attention. That's where it's feeling good for me.
It's a funny thing, isn't it, Simon? You know, you strike me as a really focused business operator, but at the end of the day, you're arguably the key asset. The checkups, say, on your farm equipment versus you, I imagine that might have been a bit out of balance before you'd done this.
100% it was out of balance. It was no ifs and buts. But, yeah, just health awareness, I suppose, is another big thing that I got out of it, was to be more aware of your health and more aware of your personal health needs. I think it was invaluable for me.
You've had floods, you've had stressful times. I mean, fires during summer are always a constant risk. Does having your health in that better space put you in a better space to deal with those stressful times?
It does. If you've got a clearer mind and you've got a healthier mind, well, you can make clearer decisions. That's pretty simple.
Into the future, is there a change with your health regime? Do checkups become part of your future practice?
Yeah, good one. I haven't said to myself, I'm going to go in for a 6-monthly checkup into the doctor, to be honest. But if the likes of that Farmer Resilience Project was running on a regular basis within one of our shires, I'd be attending those, yes. Probably pretty easy to say, I'll make an appointment and go to the doctor next week, and like next week could be too late.
Well, indeed. Simon, as you work largely on your own, I guess you miss out on those casual conversations with colleagues that can sometimes prompt people into action. You know, those chats like, did you hear so-and-so's in hospital? They're discussions that can often prompt you into action.
Yeah, correct. But it's where the likes of those events are also got an offshoot to them for. It's an opportunity to do a bit more interacting and socialising with your peers and to those people who come to these sort of events.
Lastly, Simon, what's your advice to other farmers out there who might be putting their own health on the back?
I think the key bit of advice is if you think you're not right, you're very possibly not right. So don't ignore what you're thinking or what you're feeling.
Taking healthcare to the farmer works for Simon Green. And he's not alone. Indeed, it's now part of health services delivered by registered nurses like Rosie Bear from Northern District Community Health. She also has skin in the game because she's also a farmer.
From a nursing perspective, 25 years of clinical nursing and predominantly being in community health, so working within these small rural communities, has been really valuable. So I sort of have a basic understanding of how our rural communities work. But yes, I've also got that lived experience of being part of a family farming partnership, which has, endured all the trials and tribulations that we have, the uncertainty of climate being droughts and floods, the uncertainty of markets. But then we've also got the complexity of working together with farming businesses, with relationships and family working together, which I'm very grateful. We've had a very good journey in that space. So we've been really blessed, but we've put a lot of work into that side of things too, with a very good team around us.
There's a line I read from you which said, it is caring for people when they are vulnerable involves educating individuals to achieve health and well-being, empowering them to have control of their personal journey. To me, that's sort of saying you're not there to lecture, you're there to try and help point them in the right direction.
Absolutely, Drew. It is about having a conversation around their physical and mental health, but trying to put the farmer in the driver's seat and wanting them to actually have control and understand and realise that how important their health is, not just to themselves, but to their family, their business and also their community. So through the process, we try to get the farmers to come to their own realisation, I suppose, as to how important their health is and the impact of not necessarily neglecting themselves, but perhaps not prioritising themselves, how that can possibly have a negative effect. So we want to flip that on its head and say, let's be proactive here and be empowered to actually take some control over my future, and may that be a healthy future.
Well, indeed. And is that the philosophy behind holding things like farmer health checks at event days like field days or dog trials, so nurses like yourself can be there with farmers and make it easy for them to take control of their health by having a checkup?
Absolutely, yes. Certainly knowing all the nurses who are practicing with National Centre for Farmer Health, interestingly, we're all coming from an agricultural background, so we do have an understanding, albeit in different regions and areas. We do all like to have that general conversation with the farmer, not at the farmer. So that's an important thing. So, you know, what do these screening figures mean to you? And if they have no understanding, then it's our responsibility to inform them as to what these figures mean. And it also helps when they then go and see a doctor. If they know what these figures mean, that a blood pressure over 140 over 90 or greater means that they're heading into high blood pressure region, then they know that they have to take some action and they will understand what the doctor's saying. So it's about educating and health literacy with the farmers as well.
Well, taking one step back, Rosie, I may have jumped out of the gate a bit too soon there. I mean, what happens when a farmer turns up to a farmer health check at a field day?
Basically, what happens in the initial stages of a farmer presenting at a field day is that they complete a very quick lifestyle survey, which is really valuable. It gives information about their health practices and their priorities, as well as their farm safety practices and behaviour. And that's really valuable for us as clinicians to get a little bit of that background. Is there a family history of a particular disease? Like, is there some cancer coming through the family? An example is maybe for women, it might be breast cancer, it could be a BRCA1 gene coming down, it could be bowel cancer in a family or something like that. But also getting that, what are the health practices and behaviours from a safety perspective, which is looking at farmers wearing helmets on their motorbikes, are they using PPE, protective wear when they're using chemicals, or where they're up in here in the northern part of Victoria, a lot of dust, whether it be grain or just sheepyard dust and things like that. So that's really, really valuable background. They then come with us into the privacy of a little room that we set up, and it's in there that we then do the basic screening tests with them. They have a blood pressure done and then they'll have a finger prick done. And the finger prick gives us a little bit of blood that we can then test their cholesterol and the profile of each of the cholesterol. And we also do their diabetes blood glucose test as well. So those figures then guide the conversation around perhaps diet, lifestyle, but also it gives the farmer a very good idea as to, if my blood pressure is greater than 140 over 90, I need to be concerned and I'll probably need to go to the GP. If my blood glucose is greater than 6.5 and I haven't been fasting, well, we might need to follow that up with a health professional or the GP. And same with the cholesterol profile, you know, greater risk of heart disease. A lot of our farming families have a high increased incidence of cardiac disease and diabetes in comparison to our metropolitan counterparts.
It sounds like quite a great opportunity to walk into a tent and get that snapshot of how you're going. Is this really also about trying to get farmers to prioritise their health? I mean, at the end of the day, it's their most important asset, especially as so many work by themselves. If they get crook, it's going to be hard to run your business.
Absolutely. No truer word said, Drew, and it's sort of been my mantra for a long time. Your health is your number one asset, but also within a business, any business, then the people are our number one business. So working along by themselves, there's risks with that, but also a farmer needs to prioritise their health and put the team in around them. If they're not functioning well at their best mentally or physically, then we do see businesses suffer and individuals suffer. And it's amazing how that ripple effect has an impact. And I suppose another thing is, you know, the reality is we can, for want of a better word, wing it until we're probably about 40. But then about 40s to 50s, we start and see some little signs come in. You know, the farmers start to have a few aches and pains and a few health issues. And also, I suppose, prolonged stress has a negative impact on your health mentally and physically. So we want to try and address that and try and bring to the forefront of the farmers' minds to really prioritise taking some time for self-care and to take some time for joy in their world, whether that be with family, with mates, having some downtime at home, giving themselves permission to actually just have some quiet time at home for a day is something that we try to get them to work towards.
Great advice and really fundamental advice. So what do you see are some of the unique challenges faced by farmers or common issues that you talk to farmers about?
A lot of the challenges are the competing demands that these farmers have on a daily basis. You know, the moment they go out that door, and they're probably thinking about it when they're in bed and at home too, but they're thinking about their stock, if they're into livestock, or they're thinking about their pasture, what's the weather going to do today, what's the market going to be like for my grain this week, perhaps I better check on that, has there been a move in the market that I've heard on the Country Hour, what's the market doing for my sheep, you know, they've got time constraints, whether that be around, you know, milkings, and then they've got their family that they want to be involved with their sport or whatever it might be. So there's a lot of pressure on our farmers. And I think we need to encourage them to take time for self-care. And some of that self-care could even something as simple as, oh, I've got aches and pains. Well, would you consider taking yourself off to a physio, you know, once a month into town? Is that a possibility for you, you know, and go and get a rub down and get some exercises that you can do at home that are going to help you to be able to function well when you're out on the farm and in your business.
Rosie, you gave a good example there about going off to the physio. What do you think are some practical tips for farmers to help and improve their health and well-being and general safety?
I guess just being mindful of your activities around the farm. So if you're going out spraying, for instance, where you've normally not necessarily taken a priority on wearing PPE, but one would like to think that once they've had a consultation and a brief talk about how chemicals can have an effect on their neurological system, being they can present with Parkinson's or motor neurone diseases and things like that later on in life, we would like to think that we're getting that sort of information and evidence out to our farmers earlier in their 30s and 40s so as we can have their practices changing to protect themselves. So I would like to think that they will then consider putting on a respiratory mask and some gloves and some overalls and having some filters in their tractor to protect themselves from these chemicals that can, in due course, have a negative health impact on them. Our farmers, if they could prioritise some time with their family, is really, you know, nurture their relationships and prioritise going to the doctor. Usually I try and say it would be really good if you could pop a visit into the doctor if you're younger than 40, you know, every 2 years around about your birthday, just as a reference for memory. That way you can get some bloods run, have a check, basically put yourself through the workshop as you do with your machinery. Or alternatively, we can have a health and lifestyle assessment on farm, which will take 30 minutes of your time, of which we will have some of these conversations around making you, the number one asset of your business, a priority. We don't want you breaking down like old machinery. We want to maintain the machinery, and you're the number one asset.
Rosie, it sounds like really smart business advice and a really simple thing to do to make sure your business and its most important asset is running as well as it can and also enjoying life in the process, to say the least. Rosie Bear, registered nurse with Northern District Community Health, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us for this Campfire podcast.
It's been a pleasure, and thanks for your time.
Thank you for listening to the Campfire podcast. For more information about Campfire, please visit the National Centre for Farmer Health website. All information is accurate at the time of release. Series 2 of Campfire was developed by the National Centre for Farmer Health and is funded by the Victorian State Government's Flood Recovery Funding through Agriculture Victoria. For more resources to support your flood recovery journey, please access the hashtag Building Farm Spirit page on the NCFH website.